strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford.
A touchdown for David Johnson, my goodness! Pressure from the Badger, and Badger don't care! Pitch to Fitz, running straight ahead, into the end zone, the shovel pass for the touchdown of the win!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From University of Phoenix Stadium.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
Red Sea, you got to be feeling it right now.
Unleash the fury!
Wolf, I'm thinking we're going to start with B.A.'s last words to the team today after practice. Would you be interested in what B.A. had to say to the team?
I would, as a matter of fact, Paulie.
He wound it up in the following fashion, and I quote, "Stay hydrated and be dang sure to put some good stuff on tape." That was B.A. His final message to the team. Final practice before preseason game number one here at University of Phoenix Stadium. Stay hydrated. Be sure to put some good stuff on film because that will be scrutinized as we are 48 hours away from full contact, full go football, preseason style, the home opener here at University of Phoenix Stadium. And you know the old saying there, Wolf, the games don't count, but they matter.
Yeah, they matter, all right, especially if you're trying to make a team, Paulie. And it's interesting when you hear what Bruce Arians said, stay hydrated, right, and be prepared to put some stuff on film, right? Who's he talking to? He's talking to the young guys is what he's talking to. You know what? We don't want to see you become dehydrated and suddenly you're over on the sideline with a cramp in your calf. And now all of a sudden you're going to miss reps. You can't go out there and compete. These veterans, we pretty much know what these older guys can do. The young guys on the team, we don't want any cramps. We don't want any hamstring cramps. We don't want any of that stuff going on. Stay hydrated. And guess what? Then you ball.
Big Red Rage, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley will be joined by A.Q. Shipley, the quarterback of the offensive line, coming up a little bit later, all presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. All right, let's just keep it real here, Wolf. Right here, right now, you still have four preseason games to go, starting with the Raiders on Saturday night. But
yes.
In B.A.'s office, in Steve Keim's office, they have the big white grease boards, they have all their computers. I mean, when they break down this fight for 53, come on now, 45 are already decided.
I would say probably even a little bit higher than that,
really?
Paulie. I really do believe that, especially on this team. I know they were 7-8-1, but you got to remember, there are remnants on this team from 13-3. 2 years ago.
True
there,
that.
There are still, there's a core of very, very good football players that are here. I would say it's even higher than 45, Paul. First of all, you've got your two deep. I think the Cardinals, for the most part, pretty sure about their two deep right now. That's 44 right there. You had the kicker, the punter, and the deep snapper. That's 47 guys right there, I think, for the most part. You add on three more guys that I think they know are going to be on this team. They just don't know in what capacity. Now, all of a sudden, you've got 50 guys. I think they have at least 50 right now that they could identify and say, you know what, we feel really good about these guys.
So if you're a guy on the bubble, you better move the meter.
Yes.
Against the Raiders.
Yes.
Where do you think things are still fluid? The receiver room? The running back room, cornerback.
You know, the receiver room, as soon as you say that, Paulie, I stop and I think about that. The receiver room, I think, is still loaded. I think the receiver room is fine. The talent is there. It's going to be hard to pick five guys, maybe six guys, that are going to make this team. It's very difficult. The problem is, if you listen to B.A., B.A. says it's been disappointing, that room right now in camp. But I think from a talent perspective, I still think it's a deep room.
Because it's all going to be dictated by special teams. We know that. And I think this year more than ever, considering another disappointment, the special teams performance from a year ago, B.A. is going to make darn sure that they're assured that they have performers on special teams.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll impact the back end of that receiver rotation. Are you keeping five or six? How many running backs are you keeping? How many corners are you keeping? The linebackers, how many tight ends? I mean, these are all questions that ultimately – when you get down to the third string in these positions, it's going to be determined largely by special teams.
You better believe it. You better be able to go down the field and split the seams, if you know what I mean. And you do with your nose, of course.
Yeah, that is unrelated to football and, not very becoming in any way, shape, or form. So you have questions. We still have questions. You might say even 50 of the 53 are decided. Doesn't mean we don't have questions in the return game, at quarterback, when it comes to calling the game, all next on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford.
Gabbert hands it off again on second and goal. Running left is Williams. He's got room, and he's to the end zone for the touchdown. Nice run by Kerwin Williams to the outside left. And the Cardinals go the length of the field on their opening drive and pay it off with Williams running the ball in from 5 yards out.
How about the two opening possessions? Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. Cardinals go down the field. A couple of touchdown drives sandwiched around a three and out by the Cardinals defense. All good news, including Kerwin Williams. Andre Ellington finished off the other drive. The bad news is one of the stars of that game will not be with the Cardinals for about 3 months, and that is T.J. Logan, the rookie return man who, boy, according to Bruce Arians, had locked down the job after the first preseason game. He was that impressive. Thing is, he has a dislocated wrist, and we'll see him sometime around week 8.
Boy, what a shame that is right there, because he had the number one prerequisite that every great return man needs and must have if you want to do it in the NFL, and that is courage. He was fearless. I just watching him stoke those kickoff returns. He could not wait to get the ball in his hand and take that pig and go right up the hash marks and do it with full speed approach. That's what you need from a return man. Vaisekihima, I don't know if you remember him, Paulie. Vaisekihima, a great return man.
Absolutely.
For the St. Louis Cardinals / Arizona Cardinals. A Pro Bowler a couple of times. Vaisekihima, one of the best return men I've ever been around, and it was because he was fearless. Ride a goat into a stampede, right?
I tell you, the rookie T.J. Logan was getting some serious response from the Cardinals sideline. The veterans are already starting to buy in. I mean, he was already starting to get some field respect and field credit from those guys. That first kickoff return, I mean, if it wasn't for somebody shooting an arm around his midsection and sort of slowing his roll, I mean, he gets by the kicker, and I think he's gone.
Yes.
That was right in front of me on the side. And I think the other thing that made it so refreshing was that was missing last year.
Yeah, no doubt.
So now you hope Kerwin Williams is equipped to do something similar. What do you think?
Well, again, you know, you're talking kickoff return, you're talking punt return. And, again, I needed to see more of T.J. Logan even on the punt return, because you can't catch punts out in front of you like this with your hand running full speed. I mean, the fact that he did it speaks to the fearlessness in which he was doing it.
Right.
But still, you don't want that to be the norm. You want to be camped underneath that thing, because the number one thing on any punt return that any special teams coach will tell you is you must have possession of the ball when that play ends. You must have possession of it, right? So that's number one, and it's one of the reasons why I think if it's not Kerwin Williams, if Kerwin Williams can't actually do that, he can do the kickoff return, I think, just fine. But that punt return is a completely different skill, Paulie.
Yeah.
And if he can't do it, I think Patrick Peterson has got to be a guy that you got to look at. Why? Because he will catch it, and you will have possession of it at the end of the punt.
Yeah, when in doubt on the punt returns, Patrick Peterson is the default setting for Bruce Arians, no doubt. Bruce Arians spoke very positively about Blaine Gabbert, his starting quarterback,
yeah,
who went the first half, not only led those two opening touchdown drives, he was 8 for his first 8, 11 out of 14, a buck 85 through the air. And after the game, here's what BA had to say about Gabbert.
When you play good, you play good. I don't care who it's against. I don't think it mattered who was out there. He was throwing to the right guys, and those were big-time throws.
Gabbert is in shotgun, has the football, drops back to throw at time, fires middle of the field. It's caught by Golden at the 30-yard line, running near side of the 20.
His accuracy was outstanding, because those balls over the middle were not his first, they were not primary receivers. It was a really good throw to Britt with tight coverage. Just his overall poise, and the only negative play was that third down play.
Yeah, where he got sacked and lost the ball, didn't end up being a fumble. But just in talking to BA after the game and then asking him beyond the stats, what impressed you the most, he referred to finding the second and third receivers, going through his progressions. He used the word poise multiple times. I mean, Blaine Gabbert looked the part.
Yeah, he looked the part. But also, Paulie, too, I thought he got them in and out of the huddle quickly. Now, look, I know that you're going to say you got him in and out of the huddle. Are you kidding
me? Isn't that fundamental?
But still, Paul, think about this, right? Here's a guy. How many times do you see a new quarterback on a new team and suddenly there's a couple of timeouts because the play, for whatever reason, he didn't get the play called quickly enough in the huddle. They didn't break the huddle. Suddenly, the play clock is running down. You got to get a timeout, especially in the first couple of preseason games. That happens almost all the time. Did not. Blaine Gabbert in and out of the huddle. It ran smoothly. Not only that, he was checking off at the line. You could see him changing the play at the line and also changing protection. To me, I thought the mental side of what he did was so impressive. Not just the physical, but the mental as well.
When the protection broke down, he didn't run for the hills. He didn't immediately bolt for the sideline. You know, he stayed in there, went through his progressions. Speaking of the play calls, Harold Goodwin was the guy who was calling on the – and he got a shout-out from you guys in the booth after that first drive. He mixed it up real well, didn't he?
Well, you think the first two possessions of the Arizona Cardinals took it down, scored a touchdown. The balance, I think, and the balance not only in the run and the pass, of course, but how they ran the football, the tactics of running the football, using the power scheme and the zone scheme, Paulie, actually combining those two, which allowed a lot of NFL teams do, but it was so cool to see it out of different personnel groups, 12 personnel, 11 personnel out there, a lot of it 10 personnel as well. He mixed up the personnel groups, and the play call I thought was really, really balanced.
All right, so Goody is going to be the play caller in Game 5. The next two games will be Byron Leftwich.
Wow.
The former quarterback who is now the Cardinals quarterback coach. He has meshed real well with Carson Palmer. They connected a year ago when he was the quarterback intern coach. And Carson, in fact, it's pretty well known that they're from the same draft class. But beyond that, he was asked, Carson Palmer, about, okay, do you find that a little odd that he's going to be the guy calling the plays into your helmet?
It is a little odd. I mean, it's even more odd that I'm older than he is, which I just found out the other day from Google. I got an argument with somebody. I was like, there's no way I'm older than him. And then Google settled the bet.
It's a little bit of disbelief on Carson's part there.
Paulie, do you like to gaze up into the sky and watch the stars at night? Paulie, do you like to do that?
Astronomer.
Because
I'll play along.
Okay, I will tell you right now, the next time you see a shooting star, think of Byron Leftwich. Oh, my goodness. This guy's rise, his ascension in the coaching ranks right now, I would say meteoric. I mean, here is a guy that is the quarterback coach for the Arizona Cardinals, right? A guy that was kind of an intern coach the year before.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden he's the quarterback coach, and this guy is actually calling plays in two preseason games in his first full year as a full-time coach in the National Football League. That's meteoric, Paul.
In the spring, it was either OTAs or minicamp. Bruce Arians was asked about Byron Leftwich, right, in his promotion to quarterback's coach, and he said, and didn't hesitate in saying so, the typical BNBA stands for blunt, that Byron Leftwich will be a head coach in the NFL. I mean, that's quite a leap from a year ago where he was an intern.
He says he knows the game through and through, and he's a great teacher. That is high praise coming from BA.
And remember, he was in BA's system. He knows it inside and out from his days in Pittsburgh. Hey, with each passing touchdown, in fact, Wells Fargo is going to donate money this season to local public schools through the Passing Touchdown for Schools program. Wells Fargo together will go 4. Well, not many passing touchdowns against Patrick Peterson. He's going to join us next. In fact, we'll dub him P. Thrice, Patrick Peterson Photobomb. We'll explain when we come back in the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Airing it out, firing a deep ball, middle of the field, and it is intercepted in the end zone by Patrick Peterson. Throws a deep ball, right side, it's overthrown, and a one-handed interception by Patrick Peterson inside the 15-yard line.
You might want to look at the other side, bro. You don't want to throw at that, man.
Juggled it incomplete, Peterson broke it up.
Patrick Peterson with a PD, baby.
Man, that is as good as it gets right there.
That man's got a sickle in his hand with a hood over his face.
Freeman
Peterson running right, and he's upended by Patrick Peterson at the line of scrimmage. And good to see Pat P coming up and run support and clubbing the running back.
Cousins backing up, throws over the middle, and it is nearly picked off. It is intercepted by Patrick Peterson, and the Cardinals are going to win the ball game.
You know, Wolf, I like to ask you from time to time if you're taking Patrick Peterson for granted. And really, that's a reminder to myself. Because it's so easy to look at this team and look at this defense, and every single game plan starts with putting Patrick Peterson over the other team's number one receiver. Whether it's Julio Jones or A.J. Green, Antonio Brown, it doesn't matter. He's getting Odell Beckham Jr. this year. Think of the luxury. Think of something the Cardinals have that you can count on one hand how many other teams enjoy in this league. The ability to put a shutdown, lockdown corner all game long on the other team's number one receiving
threat. Yeah, I would say there's probably five or six other teams just off the top of my head that have a guy that they can line up over the other team's best wide receiver and have a reasonable expectation at the end of that play that that wide receiver is not going to hurt them down the field, is not going to make a catch down the field, a critical third down catch. It's a very, very rare situation, but what a huge bonus it is to any defensive coordinator when you can do that. And that's what Patrick Peterson allows James Betcher to do.
Well, Patrick Peterson, it's all about you, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. And when Carson Palmer was asked this week about how you've looked so far in camp, it really was all about you.
It's the best I've seen him. There's no doubt. I told him that the other day. I just, you know, like a fine wine, he's aged well in those 7 years. He's just had great practice after great practice. He's contested every single ball.
So, Wolf, you've been at every practice. You've seen virtually every snap. Would you agree with that assessment from Carson Palmer?
Yeah, there's no doubt, Paulie, I would do that. You know, again, the Arizona Cardinals are a huge man team. It's what they do. They play man cover, and a lot of it is press cover. Patrick has improved his off cover so much from when he first came into the league, but press man is still his forte. And what's amazing about it, even the fire zones that James Betcher will run, you got to remember when a cornerback is running a defense where a fire zone exists, the only time that he's not playing man cover is if that wide receiver immediately goes inside right now. That's the only time he'll actually give it up and let that go into a zone. Otherwise, in a fire zone, even in our scheme, they're playing man cover out there. If he comes up the field at all, it's Patrick's man, period. That so much of the NFL is like this anymore, right? But I would say the Cardinals are the tip of the spear when it comes to teams that are playing man cover. Even in zones, Paulie, it's more of a matchup zone. It's more of a man matchup zone where, yes, they're playing zone, but you know what? Okay, if you come into my zone a second after the ball is snapped, boom, you're my guy. If you come into my room, you're my guy, and I'm going to play you man from that point forward. So the NFL is changing an awful lot, and James Betcher and the Arizona Cardinals through Todd Bowles, all the way back to Todd Bowles, probably the tip of the spear when it comes to playing as much man, and that's why Patrick is so valuable.
That's the X's and O's breakdown. I can tell you this much, from practice number one at camp, he's been arguably the most energetic guy on the field. His teammates have mentioned that right from the get-go. And then we experienced it the other day. Earlier this week, after practice, we were doing a podcast. We're talking Blaine Gabbert. We have a mic in our hands, and we have our back to the field after the defense dominated at the end of practice. Got a shout-out from Bruce Arians. Patrick Peterson was still fired up. And, well, listen here as we're talking about Gabbert, and here comes the photobomb. What about Blaine Gabbert? I mean, 11 of 14, he was 8 for his first 8. Mm-hmm. He'll get the second half against the Raiders.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Blaine Gabbert flashed, and here's a guy that, hi, how you doing? It's Pat.
Them white jerseys was flying around today, man. How you guys doing today?
Not only did you make plays, you had some help at the other corners. I mean, I saw Justin Bethel. I saw Tremont Williams.
Made some plays. Yeah. T-Dub made some plays. Ty got a pick today. It was a good day for the white jerseys today.
I was noticing you were doing a lot of talking out here today. Is that something you do on a regular basis?
You said I wasn't doing enough talking?
No, you were doing a lot of talking.
Oh, a lot of talking. Right, okay, exactly. I'm going to say I haven't been
quiet. Is that something that you do on a regular basis?
Yeah, that is something I'm trying to do more on a regular basis, just to, you know, give my teammates energy so they can make it throughout the day.
Do you know, you notice that the sideline expects you to pick off like every ball that you get your hands on? Are the expectations getting a little out of whack?
The ball touched my fingertips and they find me because the ball touched my fingertips. I mean, they see me make that catch before, so they expect me to make it every time now.
Where are you right now in camp? 6 Pro Bowls in 6 years. I mean, how much better can you get?
it's always room for improvement. You know, I tell you guys that each and every year. I'm just trying to find a way to make my teammates better and also continue to build on that resume.
Your thoughts on Tremont Williams?
A great addition, great veteran pickup for us. You know, he's been in the league 12 years, been in Super Bowls, been in the big moments. Definitely happy to have him, and can't wait to see what he's going to contribute to the team.
Justin Bethel, can the coaches trust him on an island?
No doubt about it. He'll be ready. That's my guy. He'll be more than ready for the job.
The last 2 weeks, he's been a lot better, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Now he's healthy this year. Mm-hmm. He's healthy this year. He understands the cornerback position. And now this year, I think he's definitely ready to roll.
What are you seeing out of Tyron right now, right? Because it looks like he's making plays. He's making plays again.
He's definitely making plays again. I believe he got that pep back in his step. He's flying around. He looks amazing. The season is right around the corner. I can't wait to see the Badger back on the field tearing it up.
He took it personal when the first 2 weeks of camp, quarterbacks weren't hesitating to throw his way.
My man Badger take everything personal in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely adds fuel to the fire. And I believe the last 2 days he had about 7 picks, so he's back.
That's good stuff, Pat. Thank you, man. We really appreciate it, big guy.
I'm telling Wolf not to take you for granted this year. He says he puts you up against the number one receiver every week. He just thinks that it's an automatic. I mean, I think he's taking you for granted.
It's definitely an automatic.
Right on, Pat.
I love the supreme confidence.
And yes.
There is one position, maybe other than quarterback, where you better be confident. It has to be cornerback, right? I mean, you got to get over. When you do get beat, and you will get beat, even when you're Patrick Peterson,
sure. You
better have supreme confidence in your ability. In fact, Bruce Arians mentioned that about Justin Bethel the other day. So one of the big differences, not only is he healthy, but, you know, when he was younger, he'd give up a play and his head would go down.
Yes.
Not anymore.
Yeah. You know, I think for the most part, yeah, Patrick will give up a play from time to time, but he makes an awful lot of plays. And as we've seen before, there's not a lot of quarterbacks that will target him on a regular basis. Now, we have seen it from game to game. And you know what's interesting about that, Polly? It used to be a situation where the plague was literally envisioned back in the 14th century, of course, to being an old woman with robes on all the way down to her feet, Paul, carrying a skiff, walking around with a huge sickle, right? And she would open the robe and all of a sudden rats would scurry everywhere. That basically is the visual I want you to think when a quarterback looks at Patrick Peterson out there on an island. The rats are scurrying.
I thought you were talking about offensive line there for a minute because our next guest, A.Q. Shipley.
He's got some rats.
In fact, he might have a tattoo of a sickle somewhere on his back.
Oh, he does.
We're going to get into all that, the state of the offensive line, the offense itself, where this Cardinals team is at, where it needs to go. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Johnson trying to get the corner. He does. He's into the end zone for the touchdown. Johnson up the middle, and he's into the end zone for his second touchdown.
31's gone a dark heart.
David Johnson across the 45. Great move to the right at the 50. Cuts back to the left at the 40. He's loose at the 30. He's at the 20, the 10. It's a David Johnson 58-yard touchdown run. Johnson up the middle, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. David Johnson up the middle, into the end zone for touchdown number 3.
Big time run by David Johnson.
He is a freak.
Well, that's your NFL leader in yards from scrimmage a year ago, and a big reason why is alongside the big man himself. Wolf, if you want to know about an offense, you ask the quarterback of the offensive line.
Okay, or the fullback. You can talk to the fullback as well.
We'll edit that out later, okay? You ask the quarterback of the offensive line, in this case, the center, A.Q. Shipley.
Indeed.
Q, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
By the way, have you ever gone into Steve Keim's office and said, you know what, I need quarterback money because I'm the quarterback of the offensive line? Have you ever tried that?
No, I don't think that would go over well, though.
I see. All right.
I think they'd probably just say, see you later, man.
Yeah. But there is a lot of truth to that moniker, right? Because you're making all the calls of the line, especially in this offense.
I know there's some teams that don't do it that way, but here I'm making all the calls. Carson, of course, has all the trump power in the world. So, I mean, if he sees something that maybe I'm not seeing or something that fits his eye better for, you know, a different read or whatever, then he can switch the mic. But for the most part, I'm making all the calls.
Thank you. Go ahead and juxtapose last training camp with this training camp. What is similar and what is different?
Similar practice feel. It's Bruce Arians' training camp, and the practices are all set up the same. It's a little bit more physical this year. I think he's, you know, we've done a couple practices.
You've noticed that it is a little bit more physical.
We've done a little bit of live, which we haven't done. I mean, I haven't done you know, I can't even remember the last time we went live with him. So we've done a couple live sessions, and you know, it's definitely more physical. We're definitely doing some more like O-line, D-line drills during individual kind of one-on-one type stuff. And but yeah, for the most part, it's pretty similar.
The starting center, A.Q. Shipley, on the Big Red Rage. So give us the state of the offensive line right now, especially considering you had the tackle switch. I mean, is that trickled down? I know you're more the interior O-line, but you got a new guy next to you at right guard. Well, you had five right guards a year ago.
Yeah.
Evan Baim is the guy right now. So how are things coming together? Because we know how all important chemistry is.
Yeah, things are going great. They really are. Jared and DJ have made that switch, you know, very easy. I mean, they are doing a fantastic job. DJ especially, you know, he looks like a whole different player now. I mean, he looks great there. I think Jared's always been a great player. Bame's doing a great job. Myself and Mike are in the same positions as a year ago, and you know, the more and more we're together, the more and more comfortable we become, the more and more we gel, the more and more we don't have to speak as much. So it's a good thing.
For the most part, of course, NFL teams that run the ball, you've got the zone scheme, what's commonly referred to as the zone scheme, and the gap scheme or the power scheme. We actually blend both of those things. And most, I would say most teams in the NFL, they do that. Do you have a preference yourself personally?
Yeah, I'm a gap guy.
You are, totally.
No question. Yeah. It's a,
Why? Why do you say that, AQ?
Because I think it's more of a man blocking scheme, and when I say that, I mean it's man versus man, it's double teams to a man, it's who's going to be tougher and more physical on
it's
this play.
It's kind of like a street fight, isn't it?
It is.
The gap
it
scheme.
It is, and that's kind of my game. I mean, I'm kind of sawed off and like to get
you like to
people.
Get a guy in a phone booth
absolutely.
And basically go at it, right?
Absolutely.
There you go. Okay.
That's what I like to do.
And who wins that fight? The guy who gets lower, the guy who gets leverage?
I don't have to bend much, so I'm usually underneath people, which is a good thing. Yeah, and then it just becomes a fight, and, you know, who's got the will to win on that play?
AQ, of the new guys, the young guys, who's impressed you? Who stood out a little bit to you so far?
You know, I go against Reddick quite a bit, and he's done a great job. I mean, he's filled in middle linebacker. He looks really good. He's smooth. He's athletic. He's starting to bring the pot when he comes downhill now. And I think he's just getting more and more comfortable, and I think this is going to be great for him, even when Buchanan comes back. And so I think all these reps are only going to benefit him.
What about on the offensive line? And when you talk about some of the young guys, right? Dorian Johnson, of course,
yeah.
Holden. Talk about some of these young guys that you're seeing, these rookies. Again, realizing they're rookies, AQ.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's so – I think with the college game now,
so
I think it's
– different.
I just think it's so hard because they're playing a different game of football. It's a completely different game.
Yes.
So to ask them to come in when really in a spread offense, all they had to do was kind of just run laterally or really never had to block someone one-on-one. And now you ask them to come in and read a whole defense, block one-on-one, have the center slide away. Now you're one-on-one with Aaron Donald. You know, it's a whole different animal. And, you know, I think it takes a guy a year or two to kind of figure that out coming out of college. It's so tough on them.
Now, speaking of Aaron Donald, that final game against the Rams, right? That was Evan Baim's assignment for a lot of that game.
Yeah.
Did he show everyone, right, in the front office? You know, I mean, I'm thinking that game went a long way to them trusting him with a starting right guard position the way he fared against Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he went in there and he didn't have the easiest of jobs. I mean, he gets thrown into the game against Michael Bennett in his first assignment and at Seattle to boot. Everybody knows how loud it is there. And then the second game, it's like, hey, you're starting against Aaron Donald. So he didn't have two of the easiest assignments ever.
Right.
He went out. I don't think he gave up a sack. I mean, he gave up, you know, whatever, some pressures here. But, I mean, to do that in your first two starts against those guys, I mean, I think it showed them that he's got some ability.
So back when I played, and I hate saying that, right? Back when I played.
When the game was in black and white.
the quarterback and the center pretty much had to have a symbiotic relationship and an understanding of what was going on literally on every play. But what was interesting about that is many times the center would tell the quarterback what to do. In this offense, is it more common for you to tell the quarterback what to do protection-wise, so to speak, or is it the other way around?
I think in a protection standpoint, I think it's up to me to make the mic call, to read the safeties, to read all that stuff, to get the line on the same page. We do have some different checks, some run-pass checks that I probably know more of. If we have a pass-pass check, it's obviously on Carson. He knows that. But when we're checking to a run, I know exactly what we're looking for because that's what I'm studying during the week. Like,
so in
hey,
other words, it's
look.
A check with me is what you're
exactly.
talking about.
Exactly.
A check with me that is a run pass.
Correct.
You're either going to run it if we get this look or we're going to throw it if we get this look.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you're responsible
for
a lot of that.
A lot of times we'll come up and you know he'll be like, hey, what are you seeing here? And then I'll be like, run it or pass it based on what we're seeing. Yeah.
You know, he gave you some serious props at the end of last season. And he reiterated it in the spring when I think a lot of people expected Evan Bame to compete with you for the starting center position. That's never been a question, according to BA. You are and will be the starting center. And Carson has had your back every inch of the way. What did you have to prove to him?
I think in this system, it's the centers and quarterbacks have to be on such the same page. And they have to kind of almost see exactly what each other is seeing. We're very good at that. We're always on the same page, even when we do our walkthroughs. As soon as the walkthrough's over and they put the two group in to get some reps, him and I are always talking, hey, you know, that look versus this. What did you see? I saw this. He switched the mic. Why'd you do that? So we're always kind of feeding off each other from that standpoint, and I think he trusts me and my points. He knows that I know the game and I study the game, and going into games, he can almost rely on me as almost like another set of eyes.
AQ, you've been around for a long time. What is this, year nine?
Year nine
for you. You've been around for almost a decade. Yeah. That is a long time, brother, in the National Football League, right? When you look around and you see the way the game is going, mm-hmm. what will football look like maybe 10 years from now? You're a smart guy. You've mm-hmm. been around a long time. Do you think it will ever start to circle back to being more of a physical game, or do you think it's going to be about more and more spreading it out?
It's a great question. Even in the 9 years I've been here, I think it's cycled two different times, right? I mean,
it is.
I came in with the huge nose guards, right?
And right.
With the Vince Wilfork, the Casey Hamptons, the Jamal Williams, right? All those big nose
Dumpster
guards.
Dumpster Dan Williams,
yep,
right?
Exactly. So we had them for a while. And then it got to a point where it was, we're going to put four speed rushers on the field. So now that's kind of where we're at now.
Mm-hmm.
Now guys are starting to have a little bit of both, right? You're starting to see these 340-pounders come in and be able to move, right? So now it's kind of in that. So I don't know where the cycle is going to go mm-hmm. in the next 10 years. It'll be very interesting. I do know that the quality of athletes that keep coming out, especially defensive linemen, receivers, all that, it's going through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see.
All right, so tell us about Robert Kimdichie. After the red-white practice, I asked Evan Bame and Jared Valdir. It wasn't so much what they said. It was the look on their face when I said, tell me about the challenge that is the new 9-0. And, I mean, right away, you could tell they're buying into this kid.
He's got respect in our room. There's no question about that. I mean, we respect the heck out of him. He's got an explosive first step. He's quick off the ball. He's always trying to shoot gaps. So if you got to block back on him, it's real tough to get him. If you got to slip away and Jared's got to come and get underneath, it's hard. I mean, he gets in that hip pocket and he's got that good first step. So he's explosive. I'm excited to see what he does. It's going to be very interesting to see him perform.
Ship, what do you think happened last year? What do you think happened? I mean, just the 1-3 start, you go all the way back. I hate to be a revisionist here, but I think it's important going forward because I think you guys have to learn from that as well. Is there a different vibe in the locker room this year than there was last year?
I think there's a completely different vibe, and I don't know what it is. I can't pinpoint what it is, but I mean, I think we were coming off a 13-3 in NFC championship, and I don't want to say guys got complacent
sure.
by any means, but I think, you know, at some point you start to like think, hey man, we're pretty good, you know, and then you come out and you're 1-3 and it's like, oh
yeah.
Maybe we're not as good as we think we are.
Yeah,
you
sure.
know, and so, and again, I don't think any of that had to do with talent. If you go back to it, those were games that we
no doubt
had mental errors. We had penalties in critical situations. We had mistakes in critical areas, red zone, 5 yards and in, whatever that, you know, instead of it being a touchdown, now it's a field goal, and now
mm-hmm.
you know now you're 4 points behind instead of tied or whatever it is. And there was just too many of that early. And, you know, I think the second half of the season, I think we came around, showed that we're pretty good football team. And so I think a big emphasis is September football this year for us. I mean, we know we got two away games coming out, and we gotta come out fast.
Right.
In fact, you got your old team in week two at Indy.
Can't wait. Tell us
about that.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it. I had some good years there. They kind of gave me my first opportunity to be a starter when Bruce was actually the offensive coordinator, and I have some good memories there. And I think I played good football for them, but looking forward to going back there, no doubt about it.
Now, look, you're kind of a foodie, right? I mean, yeah, you're a foodie.
Yeah.
Where should we go when we go to Indianapolis?
Oh,
what are some
Wolf,
of the restaurants?
Wolf, some game planning here. I like this.
What you're doing.
Yeah, he's not taking it one day at a time. That's good.
So I would say Harry and Izzy's.
Harry and Izzy's.
Yeah. Izzy's. I'm writing
that down.
Okay,
write that down,
because Wolf will forget.
Yeah.
So that's good. By the way, last we left you, the end of last season, mm-hmm. you got a couple of nice gifts. Your running back, David Johnson, got you a brand new grill. drill.
Yep.
And then your quarterback got you an air bow.
Yep.
An air bow. Did you get good use out of those in the offseason?
Great use. Great
use. Is that anything like tie bow? What do you mean an air bow?
Wolf, tell them.
So
archery.
So it's pretty cool. So it's picture a bow and arrow, right?
Yeah.
It looks like a shotgun. And you put the arrow on and, and you pump this thing
up
with
air. It's like a crossbow. Is that what you're saying?
It's essentially what it is. And it shoots this arrow out at like 300 feet per second or something.
Okay.
Like that. Yeah.
Nice.
If they made a new Rambo,
are you a hunter,
that would be his weapon.
No, but I'm into shooting things.
Okay. Kind of like you're into the tat work right now, right? I mean, what's the latest tat you've got?
Well, this whole side's like my religious side, so it's all Christian type based. So
cool. Got the Lion of Judah.
I got the Lion and the Lamb.
Aha.
This is the Eye of Providence, which is technically God's eye always looking down on you.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And then the other side, you have initials, family?
Got my whole family, and then my whole back is every team I've played for. So it's kind of like my career journey.
So basically, you've got a bird on your back? Is that what you're saying?
So for Arizona, I have Camelback Mountain. Kind of there. I had the Eagles, who I played for, right? So I had the Eagle, and I didn't want another bird on there because I played for the Eagles and the Ravens. I didn't want three birds on my back.
Okay.
So I had to think of different. I had to think of different things to do there.
Hey, Dave Pasch has got a big bird tattooed on his back.
No,
he had to check it out.
No, somebody hit the buzzer on the lie detector right there.
Didn't work.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, AQ. You know what? We're better for this visit. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, appreciate it, guys.
There you
always
go.
A pleasure.
Your starting center again this year, AQ Shipley, will be right back on this edition of the Big Red Rage.
Nice play on a pass to the near side, batted down by Buda Baker, looking like a cornerback on that play, stepping in front of the wide receiver.
Boy, there's some coaches on the Cardinals sideline right now high-fiving. I will promise you that.
Buda Baker. I mean, when you just watch the kid's foot speed, his explosiveness, his violence as a tackler, I mean, he has it all when it comes to the physical traits you look for.
It's from Kime Time Monday on 98.7 Arizona Sports. Wolf, you were talking to him about Buda Baker, the second-round rookie. And everyone I talked to after the game, after they watched the game film, just could not stop raving about how Buda Baker just jumped off that film. And I don't know what has me more fired up right now about the safety position, the fact that Tyron has shown flashes of being the Badger, or that Buda looks to be a natural playmaker.
First of all, I'll start with the Badger right there, Paulie. I think the Honey Badger, being the Honey Badger for the Arizona Cardinals on the defensive side of the ball in 2017, stop right there. Because of the tangible that he brings to the field and because of the intangible that he brings to the field, the leadership and the way that his teammates respond to the Badger when he's out there playing. Again, the smallest guy on the field, every time he takes the field, every Sunday, he's the smallest guy, and yet he plays the biggest so much of the time. So if you tell me the Badger is going to be the Badger, I'll tell you the Arizona Cardinals defense has a better chance of playing better in 2017 than they did even in 2016. And guess what? They didn't play bad last year.
He is the smallest guy on the field, and you're right. The defense feeds off him. They have a different swag when Tyron is making plays and telling you about it.
No doubt.
Just a fact. In fact, one of the themes we've seen ever since draft day is the fact that everyone comes up to Tyron Matthew and asks him about Buda Baker.
Yeah.
As if he's going to be the next Tyron Matthew.
Can we pump the brakes on that?
Thank you. But here's the thing. Tyron Matthew maybe went above and beyond that by saying this earlier this week.
He has a lot of potential. I think in the next year or so, people won't be comparing him to me. People will be comparing people to him. You know, anytime we cut on the tape, he's flying to the football. He's a natural playmaker. He has great instincts. And, you know, I think that's what you need at this level.
That's very intriguing. I mean, he is saying that Buda Baker is going to be a singular player. Now, I think he's doing Buda a favor by trying to separate the second-round rookie and the expectations that come along with being compared to the Honey Badger.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, he is a different player, and based on what you hear from guys in the locker room, you know, they're very curious as to what his ceiling really might be. I mean, the potential you heard Tyron reference right there. You're talking about a guy who had zero offseason, I mean, for the most part.
Yes.
I mean,
B.A. said earlier this week that if he would have had OTAs and minicamp and all the meetings and all the prep work and the playbook knowledge to go along with that, he'd be pushing for first team already with four preseason games to go.
Yeah, exactly, Paulie. You know what's interesting about Buda Baker is just the fact that there is a buzz around him, as you've already mentioned, right? We've been talking about it all camp long, this buzz that is surrounding Buda Baker. And what's interesting about that is I have not heard this kind of buzz from players, from coaches, from evaluators, from fans, from anybody that actually watches Buda Baker play the game of football. I have not heard that kind of buzz since whom? The Badger.
That is a great comparison. That is an astute observation. You're absolutely right. And you know what? In this regard, there are similarities because Tyron came in and right away mastered two positions.
Yes.
Buda Baker's doing the same thing.
Yep.
Strong safety and nickel. And he does have that versatility, that positional flexibility. You can see it. We saw it in the Hall of Fame game. He was up in the box. He was deep. He was the leading tackler after the first half.
Yeah, he was the leading tackler. He was physical as well. Another trait of the Honey Badger most people don't give him credit for. I think he's the best open field tackler. When he's healthy, he's the best open field tackler the Cardinals have. Now Buda Baker might actually challenge him for that title right there, Paulie. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens because James Betcher has also said he's got a personnel package where they're both on the field. Interesting.
That will be very intriguing. There is no doubt about that. Hey, a reminder, subscribe to Arizona Cardinals podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Listen to your favorite shows on the go like Cardinals Underground, the Cardinals Red Sea Report, and, of course, the Big Red Rage here presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. All right, look, the Cardinals are loaded at safety right now. What about cornerback? Opposite Patrick Peterson, and then as we get further down on that depth chart and the battle for 53, where does that leave a couple of guys coming up on this Raiders game? We'll talk about that and what plays were made in the Hall of Fame game when we come back on the Big Red Rage.
Shotgun snap to Moore. Looks left, throws left, the fade pattern in the end zone, and it is picked off. Brandon Williams with the interception, and he stayed in bounds. It's a touchback. There you go, Brandon Williams. Make a play.
Can a preseason pick be a turning point in a player's career? Because based on what I saw on the sideline, you guys were in the booth. That was a Hall of Fame game. That was an interception by Brandon Williams. The Big Red Rage is back. We're wrapping up this edition here. The training camp edition presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, and Ron Wolfley. And there was Brandon Williams, and he was getting mobbed on the sideline. A, right away, you realize, you know what, he's a popular player on this team in this locker room. And then B, he's pounding his chest, and he's yelling out to no one in particular, "I told you! I told you so!" And then Pat went and fetched the football, something I haven't seen in a preseason game, probably ever. Someone kept a souvenir football, but that was a very meaningful moment to Brandon Williams.
No doubt about it, Paulie. Grow strong, grasshopper. That's what I would say. Look, Brandon Williams, what I really liked is the fact that he turned around and actually looked for the ball.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Brandon Williams have a hard time actually turning and looking for the ball. And, Paulie, if you're not going to turn and look for the ball, you're never going to make a play on the ball, all right? You're never going to be able to use your ball skills to make that play. The fact that he actually turned and looked for the ball allowed him to make a play, and that's what he did. So hopefully he's going to learn from that because he's looked a lot better since that game. He's looked a lot better in practice.
Does that solidify his spot in this final 53, the fight for 53? I mean, are we looking to the top four corners with four preseason games to go? Or is it already known? Patrick Peterson, Justin Bethel, Tremont Williams, and Brandon Williams.
I think there's no doubt about it. I think those four are probably going to make the team. I would also say you might even keep five at some point in time. Might keep five corners and bring them in. There might be somebody out there. When cuts start to happen, you know Steve Keim and his staff are going to be looking for somebody that could help them.
And Brandon Williams has a big role on special teams, and you've been impressed with his tackling as well?
Yes. You know, a very, very physical tackler. We've seen that in practice here when they've gone live, as a matter of fact. We saw it in the Hall of Fame game, what an excellent tackler he is, very physical tackler. And because of that, he's good in transition, and that's what you're going to have to be. If you're going to be the number four, number five corner on a team, you better be able to ball in transition.
So what do you want to see in the Raiders game here at University of Phoenix Stadium on Saturday night? I'll go first because B.A. brought it up today in his press conference, the punters, or lack thereof. They've already brought in one additional punter to work out. But right now it's between Richie Leone and Matt Weil, and one of those guys would be well-served to impress.
Boy, that's a scary proposition based on what happened last year with the Arizona Cardinals, how their special teams really hurt them last season, right? And I know it's been a point of emphasis here in 2017. Look, if you're going to bring a punter in, this is what you need. You need the guy to get it off in 1.2, Paulie, got to get it off. In other words, the snap, you catch it, and you punt it in 1.2 seconds, maybe 1.25, and I need 45 yards out of you, and I need 4.5. In other words, 45 yards of net, or 45 yards of gross in 4.5 seconds of hang time. Got to have it out of your punter.
And the guy has to be the holder for Phil Dawson, so he's going to need time to mesh with the kicker.
Yeah, since your backup quarterback isn't good at it. Drew Stanton says it.
Yeah. Punt return, I think we're looking at Kerwin Williams. You know, you're looking at Drew Stanton, he's going to get the second quarter. You're looking at Blaine Gabbert, he's going to get the second half. That first team's going to get about 15 snaps or so, no more than the first quarter.
I want to see efficiency out of the offense, the first team offense, and the first team defense. That's what I want to see.
I want to see Jared Valdir at right tackle, especially if he gets Bruce Irvin or Khalil Mack. I want to see that.
Move the chains or get a three and out.
Once again, the games don't count, but they do matter. Special thanks, as always, Jim Almahundro, Cody Fincher, Eric Cohen. Thanks for making it happen here at University of Phoenix Stadium. It is the Big Red Rage. Special thanks to A.Q. Shipley himself as we continue to bring all the coverage here of Cards Camp and beyond Raiders game on Saturday night.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, go!
And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
Woo! What's up, bro?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.